Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with improviser, bassist, composer, songwriter, singer, and producer Eric Normand of the Quebec-based band Brûlé Moube. As an improviser, he developed a personal and radical playing. This creates an electronic flux and objects feedbacking and vibrating in small electronic devices, interpreted by the instrumental gesture. Together with his bandmates, he is making some grand music. We get into the new albums, COVID Life, and the future ahead. Enjoy this interview.
Thank you again for taking a minute out today. And I want to ask you, first and foremost, you know, we've gone through quite a time with COVID. How did you do during COVID, and how does it feel to have new albums coming out now that the world's opening up?
Yeah, I was kind of lucky because I live in a really small town. So during COVID, we don't have much case here. So we can continue to see each other and rehearsing, not much concerts, but we were playing. And adding to this, we have had some contract for film music. So I have some money to take time to compose and stuff. So it was like a normal year without concerts, but I wasn't playing. Maybe I've played more than ever because not touring. You can practice your instrument every day and having those melody in my head and playing hours every day. So I think it was like a good timing to compose this kind of music with melodies. And
that's wonderful. You know, and I know that the Canadian government tends to be pretty good about giving out grants for recordings and things like that.
Yeah. We have funding. It's a bit difficult for at some point, but yeah, we can have funding. I was really lucky to have this money for this album because I'm not like a jazz musician. I'm most in the free improv radical stuff, and I don't have much grant. Usually I have grants for touring because you know, improvised music is everywhere on the planet, so we're touring a lot. But it was really special for me to have this grant to write music and play with the band. It was really an honor for me, and I was delight to have this money so I can invite people like John and Jean to play with us. So yeah, we're lucky. We have support for the government for the creation. That's sure.
And tell me a little bit about. I mean, you have two albums coming out, and
yeah, the two albums.
How does it one feel? How did you put them together?
Yeah, we play with Louis Baudouin de la Sablonnière, the guitar player. We played together for years. But we were mostly playing at home and having some small jazz gigs. And when we decided to do this project, because we have a lot of composition, and we decided to go forward and just hire a musician and record it. And so I thought it was supposed to be a single album, but we did two sessions, and we are really happy with the two sessions. One was more feeling about the mood of the trio and the longest solos, and the other one was with this fantastic group with guests. So we did compose the song and arrived to the sessions with the sheets. We did not practice the song before, so it's really spontaneous too. We record a lot of music and then we select those. So about the album titles, tardif mean late. It's a bit of a joke about doing a jazz record after 20 years of playing jazz, but doing other music on record. So so I call this one tardif on this purpose. The other one is the L'Appel du Vide. It's the call from the emptiness. And I think it's the title of a piece by Louis. But I think we love this title because it's we want to do jazz, but without with something empty, something missing, like there's not much chord change in the music. It's mostly based on melody and rhythm. It's all merged together. As Ornette Coleman was saying, it's all the same. So it's not, none of the tune has like the usual chord change. So the bass accompaniment has to manage with that to find a direction with the melodies and rhythm and don't stick on the chords. So I think that this title, L'Appel du Vide, it's about this, yeah.
I was just wondering in your childhood how you got involved with music and how it became improvised music for you?
Oh yeah. That's a good question, because I'm from a really small village, as I said. But by the time there was a really good experimental music show at the public radio here in Canada, so that's where I discovered all this music. So I've listened to this show every single week and record to it in my reel to reel and listen back. And then I wanted to go to Victoriaville for the music actual, the big music festival. So I started going there too. And I was really, really fascinated by, at first by noise music, Japanese noise and stuff. But slowly I've become really pretty much interested in all kind of music. So I was playing drum at this time. So I switched from drum to upright bass because I wanted to play more jazzy. And then I switched back to electric bass because I don't like to travel with furniture. So that's a long process for me. At first, I was from the rock. I'm a self-taught musician, so I was from rock bands. And then I studied a bit of jazz on upright and drop it. And then I went back to more free improvised music. And slowly, I bring back some jazz elements on my music. And working with Louis, I started to make like more standard jazz combo, I say, yeah.
So what was the first live show that you ever saw that blew you away?
Yeah, in Quebec, one of the first shows, because in Rimouski, where I live, it's a small town, but there's a jazz festival. So I had chance to see, I don't know, Charlie Aden and John Abercrombie and people like this when I was young. Then was when I was a teenager, I was more in experimental free jazz music. So I went to Victoriaville and I saw the KGA, you know, and I saw Peter Grossman and I saw those people. And I was really, really shocked by this trio, Mephista with Sylvie Courvoisier and Susie Ibera and Ichu Mori. That was a shock for me. It was maybe in 2001. And it changed my life. After this show, I wanted to do more group music. So that maybe at this period, I was still playing upright bass, but I was searching for something different in terms of an instrumentation and orchestration. So that's when I started to go more in freely improvised music. And then I started touring a lot, so I saw a lot of concerts and festivals all around.
So talk to me a little bit about the players on both of these albums and how you work so well with them.
Yeah, Louis, the guitar player, it's a friend of long time, and we played together for maybe 10 years. Other players in the album, it was the first gig together. So it was like I know Jean Derome for years, but we don't play much together. We're friends, but we live in Montreal. He has his own project, his own group, and he's doing really complex music. And so we wanted to invite them for just a single record session. So it's really spontaneous. And it's a bit of the concept of the group. It's called brûler les meubles, that means burn the furniture. So after every project, we change the rest of the band. We stick on Louis and I and doing all the compositions. And we invite other people. Now we're working on a new project for next year with Ingrid Lobrax and Marianne Trudel, so drum-free quartet. It will be completely different, but the same kind of composition, same kind of mood, but with different setting, yeah.
So let's say you come to Kansas City and you perform live. You perform these albums live. What could the audience expect?
I don't know. I think we played in small jazz festival here in Quebec, and it was really well received. It's all public music. It's not real. It's not that experimental. It's not free jazz. I don't think so. It's like just open jazz based on melody and a lot of jamming. So I think we can be in every kind of context. We played outside a couple of weeks ago. We played outside in the jazz festival. There was families and stuff. It was really nice. So I think it's surely one of my more accessible projects to date. I am working on booking now, so we'll see what's the reception, because I'm sending CDs now to jazz festival and clubs. So we'll see if we can manage to arrange a tour on next year. I wish we can.
So if anybody wants to pick up the albums out there, where's the best place for them to go or to learn about more about you and the band?
Yeah, we have a distributor in the U.S. that is a Squidco. It's a mail order distributor. So I think it's the best way to get the album in the USA. For now, we're working to bring it to some record store, because I think with the vinyls, there's a new record store culture, and we want to be part of it. In Canada, the album is already in 20 record stores, small independent record stores. So for now, I think for the USA, Squidco is the best option. But in a couple of months, we'll be in some record store devoted to vinyls too.
Wonderful. Hey, thank you for taking some time out today. Good luck with the albums. I'm looking forward to getting it out there to my audience in Neon Jazzland.
Yeah, thank you for having us and for playing us.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Quebec, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Eric for his time, music, and cool. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino on the iTunes Store. Visit neonjazz at youtube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.